Check, 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 check. Am I on? Okay. Thank you, Zori. Such a blessing to come back. Been gone for a couple of weeks, and I just got to tell you, man, I just miss you guys. It's like we had the opportunity to go and visit family, and it was great. Thank you for your prayers. It was so apparent. And one of the things that the Lord showed us is that we are where we're supposed to be. And there's such a blessing being here. I am so blessed being here in this place that God has called us to. And I'm so grateful for all of you. Well, with all that being said, I thank Zori for being here and Carlos. We had this scheduled a while back. I'm so excited to hear his testimony. God is so good and he is so great and he is so mighty. Listen, we sell him short so many times, and the problem is us. It's not Jesus. It's not him. It's us. And I'm just going to read a Psalms to you, and then I'm going to invite Carlos to come up and share with us. But Psalms 29 says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. He is worthy of glory." Amen? "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flame of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory." Lord, you are so good to us. Lord, you are able to save. You have rescued us. Lord, you grabbed us, Lord, from that miry clay and set our feet upon a rock. And we are so grateful, Lord, for such a great salvation. And we thank you. May you be glorified today in your name. Amen. Carlos, will you come on up here? And Carlos is going to share with us his testimony and bring the word of God to us. Amen.
You got me? Sweet. Well, good morning or good afternoon. That's Takeda. It's an honor to be here and a blessing as well. Thank you, Carlos, for extending your family to mine. That was awesome. That's what it's all about, man. I'm sitting down there on the seat, and I'm listening to Zori sing, and I'm like, it's the way it works with the Lord. Whatever pops up on the screen, I'm like, I'm going to talk about that already. You know, and then he gets, you know, the pastor gets up here and says a few words, and I'm like, yeah, and that falls right in line. Well, here I am. I came today because I want to be transparent with you guys, and I want to share my life story with you guys in hopes that by the end of it, you will be encouraged and you will praise God, because it is because of him why I'm standing in front of you today. My life is such where it's mountains and valleys, man. You know, me and the brother was talking a little bit about it, and you know, it's peaks, it's highs, it's lows. And I'll get into it in a second, but the Lord's continually saved me, and I'm pretty sure he's continually saving most of you. My name is Carlos, if I didn't already say. You can't forget me, because apparently there's like 10 Carloses here. I live in Newport, Oregon now, and I'm part of what's called Diamonds in the Rough Ministries and For the King Apparel. We'll talk more about that later, but I want to start with my story and kind of get to it. So I need you guys to fasten your seatbelts and put on your helmets, because you're going to need them. Born in Phoenix, Arizona, Born to a family, born to a mom and dad that was dysfunctional. Dad was always in prison. Mom was a suffering drug addict at the time. That's how I was raised. That's where I grew up. But God had a plan. You'll hear me say that. It's a theme, I guess you call it, a lot. Growing up, watching that and watching my parents suffer, I said to myself, I would never, ever do that. So I thought. So as a teenager, you know, my grandmother, seeing that my life was in turmoil as a young boy, probably 10 or 11, and she came to get me by way of my dad who was in prison. Please go get my son. Pull him out of his situation, so young. And she did. And she came, got me, and so I went to live with her in another side of town. Sounds like it's a good thing, but it, you know, really wasn't, because now I'm in a gang-infested neighborhood, the same neighborhood my dad was from. And so growing up there, I really didn't have rules or anything. That's just the way my grandmother raised me, pure love. Her boy couldn't do any wrong, and I took advantage of that. Growing up as a teenager in the neighborhood, I did everything that came with that. The crime, you know, not drugs yet, but, you know, the drinking, just the lifestyle of being there, thinking I found what I was looking for. But God had a plan. And so being raised there and all that comes with the gang life, committing crimes and just doing whatever I wanted to do, you know, eventually got me in juvenile, you know, juvenile hall at a young age, probably 16. And I spent my first time in a juvenile hall, and my little grandmother, who loves the Lord, came to see me. And she would always tell me, she would say, Mijo, or son, God has a plan for your life. You're going to be a man of God. Of course, I'm 16, you don't care what anybody tells you. Okay, grandma, that's fine, you know, whatever. And so, but that was also the first time I would hear the name Jesus. And I wasn't listening or paying attention, but it didn't matter then, but it would affect me later, as you'll hear. And so, enough times of that, going in and out of the juvenile system, I would eventually turn, you know, 17. I was just before 18. And she would come again and say, you really have to change your life. Give your life to the Lord. Jesus loves you. Okay, Grandma, I'll give my life to the Lord. And through a glass would be the first time I gave my life to him. You know, and if I'm honest about it, I did not know what I was doing. I was just trying to please my grandmother so she would stop, really. And so she was satisfied. Of course, I wasn't sure what was going on or what. Got back out, and of course, didn't mean absolutely nothing to me, and went back to my ways because I was back in the neighborhood. And so being there, I would eventually turn 18, and those little petty crimes would soon turn serious, you know. And now when you commit a crime at 18, it's like different consequences, and big boy stuff, we call it, you know, whatever. And so I would manage to get myself in really big trouble, you know, just bad mistakes, one after the other. And the state got tired of me, really. And so they sentenced me to 15 years at the age of 18. In the county, waiting to go to prison, I was sharing this with the brother. I didn't plan on sharing this, but the Lord kind of told me, you need to say this. I knew I needed help from the Lord. I just didn't know how to get it. Or I didn't really know what I was doing. I had nobody discipling me. I didn't have anything. I was just left to my own devices, sitting in the county probably for 9 months, maybe 10 months. Decided, well, I'm going to start reading the Bible. And I look back now, and it actually, although my understanding wasn't what it is now, God was actually moving in my life, in this Bible study, in the county, waiting to go to prison. Now, I look back now, and I think, I was trying to use God to get out of the 15 years I've already been handed to me. You know, if I do this Jesus thing, you know, maybe they'll drop my sins. I don't know what I was thinking. I was already sentenced. But I was watching lives transform through this Bible study that my heart wasn't in. So the Lord was working even then. But my motives in my heart wasn't pure. You know, it wasn't for God. And I would leave the county and get to the yard, get to the prison yard, and I would completely turn my back on Jesus for the first time, what I consider the first time. I would do that many times in my life, but this was the first time. But God had a plan. And it was on the yard, in a whole nother environment, that I became something different. I totally forgot about Jesus. I didn't care about any of that, because in there, Jesus is weak. It's weakness and all the whole thing that comes with, you know, that. I even went as far as to serve another God in the gang life in prison. A God who cares nothing about peace. He only wanted blood. We believe that. And so I would give him blood. You know, whether it was somebody else's or whether it was mine, you know, that was what made this God happy. And that's who I served for 15 years. And, you know, I have to say, the only reason I'm talking about my past is to give contrast to what Jesus is doing in my life now. It's not like I enjoy it, but it happened. It's my story. And so that's why I'm giving it. And so all those years in prison, doing that, living that way, just living on the edge, I picked up a drug habit. It was the first time I tasted drugs, and I became a full-fledged drug addict. Well, I got released with the same drug habit 15 years later. And, you know, and it was by God's grace, I know now that I even made it through that without picking up more time, without picking up extra charges that would extend 15 years. So I got out on the streets of Phoenix, you know, and in that entire time, my grandmother used to come see me at least once a year, and she would tell me, "Son, Jesus loves you. He loves you." Of course, you don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear it at the time. I knew I was, you know, I was who I was, and I just didn't want to hear anything about peace or love or anything, because I hadn't seen any of that for 15 years, you know. And so I got out, and I went back to my grandmother's place. It was the only place I had at the time. And in that, you know, living with my grandmother, she still didn't see me doing any wrong, although it was all bad, you know, using drugs in her house and just being bad. And so she still would grab me. You know, I would try to pass by her little room, her room, and down the hallway was my room, and she'd grab me. "Let me pray for you, and Jesus loves you." And she's telling me, "You're going to be a man of God one day. You don't know it yet." Oh, yeah, whatever, Grandma. But God had a plan. Even then, in my addiction, He had a plan for me. And so, you know, feeding my addiction through a needle for the next 7 years was probably one of the most darkest time in my entire life, even worse in prison. It's like still being in prison, but trapped inside myself, still searching for something, not knowing what, but just still satisfying my flesh and my ego and everything else that I had. And so I did that. That's who I was. Sleeping on the street sometimes, sleeping in alleyways sometimes, just whatever. You know, that's what drugs does to you. You just stop caring about anything, including yourself. So, but I had this little grandmother always looking at me, telling me, "You're gonna be a man of God one day." And so that, you know, there came a point where I knew I wanted to get off drugs. I've tried many, many, many different things, and nothing seemed to work at all. And, you know, my sister had moved out, who suffered from drug addiction as well. She had moved to Oregon. She moved here to Toledo, Oregon. And all of a sudden, I'm sure my grandmother had something to do with it, but she was calling me saying, "Hey, listen, you should come out here. You should come out here. You know, the Lord's calling you." She'd tell me all that stuff. And, of course, I still didn't want to believe it. But I also know that I didn't want to die at this point. Like, I had done a very good job trying to die. I just wasn't dying, you know, because God had a plan for me, and it wasn't dying. And so finally, you know, I agreed to go to come to Oregon, and I agreed to try something different. It was one of the hardest moves I've ever had to make, agreeing to get hop on a bus, leave Arizona, which I'm so comfortable with, and I knew everybody, and that's where my drug had, you know, that's where I get my drug and all this stuff, trying to make every excuse in the book. But I decided to go, you know, probably because my grandmother, you know, I was tired of my grandmother telling me I was going to be a man of God or something. I felt like she was bothering me at the time. But I remember hopping on that bus and my grandmother looking at me, you know, with her kind eyes and her smile, "You're going to be a man of God, Emil, one day. This is it. You're going to make it," you know. And of course, I still didn't want to hear it. So I hop on the bus. I do the last of my drugs on the bus here. I get to my sister's house, and my sister picks me up from the bus station, and she's full of hope. I could see it. There's something different about her. And she's telling me on the drive to her house that she has this little Bible study that she does. You know, I'm like, man, here we go, hearing this Jesus thing again, you know? And I'm like, okay. We get to our house, and, you know, I'm kicking drugs and, you know, on her couch, and I could hear them talking about this Jesus guy, I thought at the time. And all the hope and the happiness and everything that came with it. I could hear it. I wasn't involved in it, but I could hear it. Well, soon I started, like, sit. You know, I had nothing else to do. I was like, let me just sit in on some of these and see. And I did. You know, and really that's where the Lord met me. You know, I knew. I was like, all right, Lord, I don't even know if you're real or if this is really happening. I don't know what's going on, but I know I need something. I've been searching my entire life, you know. If you're real, I'll try this thing out, you know what I mean? And so I did. I rededicated my life back to the Lord in my older age now, probably 38. That meant something to me, you know. I was thinking different. And so I said, Lord, all right, I'll give you a year. I'll stay clean and sober no matter what. Do what you want to do with me. You know, I'm sitting in these little Bible studies, not understanding anything, but just doing it, you know, just trying something different. And man, the Lord really got a hold of me, you know, and it was subtle. It wasn't like a big shazam, you know, you're changed. It wasn't that at all. It was more of, okay, I'll answer this little prayer for you. You know what I mean? He showed me little things, a little bit, because that's all I could handle at the time, really. And so I just kept pressing in when I didn't want to. I just kept showing up to these Bible studies, like, there's something to this. I'm not even sure what it is, but there's something to it. Well, the Lord really, really met me, you know, and it was, I remember that first 3 or 4 months, He just started answering prayers, little prayers for me, you know, that I would, you know, practice ones that I would try. All right, Lord, if you're real, you know, do this, you know how we do, put the fleece down, you know. And he would show me, he would meet me there, and he would give me a little, we call them little love notes, me and my wife, that he was real. And so I knew there was something to this, and I wanted it. I felt strange, I felt different. I was like, you know, this is totally opposite from all the chaos and the violence and destruction I've known in my life. You know, and then what he was doing was changing me, little by little, from the inside out. And so, you know, and when I say, man, he took me to new heights and new wonders, he did every bit of that. For instance, I would pray to get on, you know, I prayed to get on a boat. And, you know, I want to work, you know, I'm 6 months clean, I'm happy, you know, I want to do something with my life. And so he put me on a boat, you know, while doing offloads, you know, offloading fish, and I fell in love with the ocean at the time, because the ocean was bigger than me, and I just knew there was life out there. And anyways, that's, he put me on, you know, he did that. I asked for a family, for a lady, and he gave me my beautiful wife, who I met at the Bible study through my sister, you know, who's now my wife. And my son, my strong son, Chris here, he was also added to me from the Lord. And my little daughter, Mia, who's not in here, my miracle baby. So the Lord's putting me back together, right? I get a job on a boat, and I just can't believe how fast he's putting me back together. You know, I'm just like, wow, this is so crazy. But it was so cool that I just wanted more. I wanted more. You know the feeling when you first come to the Lord. Stuff starts happening. I want more of this. I want more of this. But digging into the Word, it was changing me. The closer I got to God, the closer, it was weird. The closer I got to God, the further I felt from him, because my sin was coming to the surface. You know what I mean? He was showing me what I am or what I was. And so that little job offloading boats would eventually get me a job on a boat, a Christian boat. I asked, Lord, I really want to do that, but it has to be a clean and sober Christian boat. Well, lo and behold, he puts me on the only boat that I know of that was a Christian boat who loved the Lord. You know, and eventually I would make captain of that boat. So I was the captain of a fishing vessel for, you know, quite a while. Which built our life, gave me a life. The Lord gave me a life through fishing, you know. And even as I'm hearing myself talk, I'm like, all this is leading towards ministry, being a fisher of men, being, you know what I mean, and just loving the Lord and watch him do stuff, addiction, that my demons that I was able to overcome through the power of Christ. I didn't know that was going to lead into ministry, but it did, and I'll get to that. But God had a plan still. My life is moving in the right direction. He still had a plan for me. I just didn't know what it was. At this point, I didn't even care. I was just like happy to be alive and, you know, happy to believe in something other than myself. Happy that there was a God and I wasn't it. Really, that's what it was. I wasn't it. There's a God and I wasn't it. So, you know, and talk about the redemptive power and the restoration that God gives. Like, he literally was giving me back everything that Satan has stole from me. The entire time I was serving the evil one, he started giving it back to me. I have an eldest daughter, Sienna, that lives in Arizona, who's really a product of the old life. You know, she absolutely hated my guts. You know, and eventually throughout the years, I think it was because my relationship with Christ that she came back. She was like, oh, you're serious this time, you know. And so he gave her back to me. So I now have my entire family because of him. I had a career because of him. You know what I mean? And little by little, the Lord's putting people in my life that I could tell that to. And that's why I'm here, standing in front of you now, because I need to say what happened to me. And God is real, and he does stuff. He's active, you know, regardless of your circumstances, your situations. Just cruising right along, you know, at this time, things are good. Me and my wife, we're building a life together, and I'm at the top, you know, of my career, the pinnacle, really. And, you know, only God can do something like this. You know, only the Lord can take a human being who's a person who's went through what I went through and thought better of him. You know, you couldn't trust me with a $10 bill before because I was going to jack it or I was going to do something bad with it. Then you're going to trust me with $500,000 a year. You know, company. I was like, what? How does this happen? And so, God is how it happened. Jesus is how it happened. And so, you know, I wish the story could stop there, but it just doesn't. You know, things are looking great, and I'm loving the Lord and stuff, and I'm at the top of my career, and we're building a life, and we're getting everything that we're praying for. And then a boat wreck happens. I have a friend, Josh Porter, who died on our jetties in Newport on a crabbing season, and he died, and the water picks his boat up and smashed on the rocks, and all three guys died. Well, this guy was part of the recovery community. Good dude, you know, loved the Lord. And so his wife, who's a friend of ours, Denise, asked, you know, hey, we own a boat in California, and we need to bring it back. Could you help, you know? Could you help do that? I don't know how I'm going to make it. My guy is gone, of course, you know. Open up scripture. It says, you know, be there for the widows. She's a widow. I have this specific gift. I'm going to go help her get her boat, you know. So we went. We drove down to California. Came back, you know, 1 a.m., trying to cross the Coos Bay Bar, and we wrecked. We hit something. We nailed something. I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but here I am. But anyways, we nailed something on the bottom of the ocean floor, and chaos ensues. We to make a long story short, I don't want to say because I'm going to start crying. God saved me again. He literally picked me out of the water when I gave up so many times trying to stay above water. Picked me up and he sat me on a rock, the only rock that I could grab, you know. But anyways, he saved me again. Again. But this would be the biggest event in my life up to this point because God had a plan for me. There was a direction that I was heading in and that he needed me in, you know, and it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with his kingdom. It had everything to do with helping, you know, doing my part, my role in the body of Christ in ministry, really. I look back now and I could say that. And it was by way of my pastor coming. I was lost, of course. I was traumatic with the water. I couldn't be around water. I tried to take my kid to the pool one time, remember? And I just seized up because of a swimming pool, you know? Like, she had to come get me, and, you know, and it was bad. But my pastor reached out, and he recognized there was something going on. He came and grabbed me because I need you to come to this pastor's conference, 2019. And I went there, and that's when I received the prophetic word by way of a gentleman that was sitting in a circle with us saying, you know, he was like, I don't know you, bro, but I got a word for you. Okay, cool, what is it? And he reads me the fishermen when Jesus ascended back into heaven, they were kind of lost and, you know, and or whatever. And so they went back to do what they always did, and that was fish. So he reads that to me and he goes, I don't know what you've been through, but the Lord wants you to know not to go back to your nets. And don't be afraid to stick 2 feet into ministry. Right? He told me that. And I look over at my pastors. They know what I went through. And they're both jaw dropped. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this is happening right now. You know, I got my marching orders. I was asking the Lord, what do I do now? You know, he told me exactly what to do. So I left there refreshed, encouraged, and, you know, my brother James came down from Arizona and started a construction company, and so, you know, cutting edge contracting was born, faith-based contracting company down in Newport, but I knew the whole time that's not what I was supposed to be doing. I knew it. My heart was, like, so loud already, like, this ain't it. You know, it's not about working and making money. Of course, I want to do that because I'm a man, men want to do that, but I had this calling on my life, you know, and people were, you know, calling me all the time, and I was showing up for guys, and I was just doing stuff already for the Lord, you know, helping them get off drugs, and you know, by way of a relationship with Christ, that's it, you know, just telling them what happened to me, just like I'm doing right now. And so I helped them out for a year. That, you know, came time to sign paperwork. Hey, you're going to be an owner, you know. I don't want to be an owner. I helped you guys, that's cool, but the calling of my life is different. You know, I need to respond to what the word that was given to me, and that's to push all in with the things of the Lord. So that was my first time saying no to money after the boat wreck, you know, to a bunch of money because of God's calling on my life. Step of faith, you know, whatever. So I did that. And it was January of this year when, or December, January, and then we had our first Christmas party at the Cutting Edge contracting party, and they let me go to do ministry full time. We just got our business plan, our 501(c), we're all legit, and so I pushed all in. So now I've done both things that the Lord's asked me to do. Since then, we have grown tremendously, you know, Diamonds in the Rough ministry, just reaching out to guys and just being available to dudes who are struggling with addictions, different addictions, and or just life in general, you know, and starting relationship with guys and doing life with them, discipling, so to speak. You know, that's my calling, just to share Jesus with people. Say, this is the way, man. You know what I mean? And be there for them when they fall, be there, you know, celebrate with them when they're victorious, you know, stuff like that. So, praise God. All that in my life, that plan, that entire plan, when it looked bad, when it looked real bad, one little lady speaking life into me. And I'm saying that because we all have somebody in our lives. I feel like everybody, we know somebody who could use Jesus. Or could needs a relationship with Jesus. You know what I mean? And one little lady speaking life into me through my turmoil and praying for me is what saved me that entire time. You know, in really bad situations, that some of the stuff I, you know, I don't even want to talk about, but it was because of her prayers. I know that now. You know, and so keep, I just want to encourage you guys to keep praying for that person or that you have in your own life that thing you maybe there's no hope for. Guess what? You're looking at proof that a relationship with that God saves, that Christ saves. And I'm nothing special. He's done it for me. He'll do it for anybody. Forgiveness of sins, he'll forgive them all. And Lord knows I needed it, all the stuff that I'd done. And so I'm thankful that you know, that my grandmother was held me up that entire time. Jesus held me up by way of her. You know what I mean? And so, keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep loving right where they're at. We have this ability about us that we push it away because we don't understand it or we think they don't make enough right choices or whatever. But it's the love that she poured out on me. It was the hope. It was saying the name Jesus to me right in the midst of where I was at is what continually saved me and brought me to this point where I'm able to stand up here with all my butterflies and tell you guys about me and what God has done in my life. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful. I love my family. I love the life that I have. And I really love that the Lord's using me for his benefit now. So, yeah, like I said, I just wanted to encourage you guys, you know, to keep reaching out. You know what I mean? Keep reaching out. And in my testimony might, you know, that's the light version. It might sound gnarly, but all you guys have a testimony, a story that's unique to you. God sent me really here to tell you that. You guys have a story that's unique to you. You don't need a pew. You don't. You need your story, and you need to say the name of Jesus to somebody that's already around you. You know, in praying before I came here, it was like, you need to tell him this, the Lord. Okay, I'll tell him. You know, we all have a sphere of people. When you leave here, you're going to go be around your people. You know what I mean? Are you spreading hope? Are we spreading hope? Are we encouraging? Are we telling others about the Lord? We should be, because he's real. You're looking at proof right in front of you right now that even the gnarliest of stories and situations, God is bigger. The name of Jesus is bigger than anything. I promise you that. So I implore you guys to do that. Just with the people around you. That's how we change the world, by the way. One person at a time. You know? You don't need to sit up here and talk to a bunch of people. Start with your one homie who needs to hear the name of Jesus. Needs to be reminded that he's loved. He's loved. That's what happened to me. And it worked. I couldn't see it. She did. They might not see it, but you do. You know what I mean? Spread that hope, man. So I'm thankful to be standing here. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you if I could. Galatians 1:15 says, even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. And then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. also the prophet Jeremiah 1:5. These are scriptures that the Lord wanted me to share with you guys. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Wow. That means God, the Lord knew who I knew I was going to be here standing in front of you before I was even born. He knew what my life was going to be like. He knew I was going to make a bunch of bad decisions. But he also chose me to walk through what I walked through in order to, you know, that's how testimonies are. You got to go through some stuff. And why? 2 Corinthians 1:4 is why. The Lord turns our messes into messages. 2 Corinthians 1:4 reads, He comforts us all. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. The Lord freed me from addiction. It's only natural that I'm working in the addiction field. You know, I can use what God has given me in my story to help others, to give hope. Hey, man, I know what you're going through, and really mean that because of that scripture right there. Stuff happens to us. We make bad decisions. It's okay. There's forgiveness for it. As soon as you receive forgiveness, it's not really not for you. It's for you to pass on to somebody else. But that's not what we do. We hold on to stuff. I do it all the time. You know, it's for me. It feels so good. The Lord's like, really? I saved you for a reason. That plan you guys hear me, that I kept mentioning, this is it. Now I have purpose because of the plan God had on my life. I went through some things. God brought me out of some things. Yeah, it's for me, to save me, but it's to give to others that are around me. And that's why our testimonies are powerful. And I look at you guys, I'm like, each one of you guys have a different testimony. So unique. Nobody could tell your story like you can. You know? And people need to hear it. And they should hear it. Because there's life in there. There's hope in there. Jesus is in there. Spread them stories, man. With the people right around you. You want to change the world? You want to make a difference? That's how you do it. One person at a time. Thank you for allowing me to share with you guys. So your guys' pastor was so kind to throw me a curveball and stretch me out a little bit. I've never done communion in front of people. I mean, in front of this many people, but I'm going to do it for the first time today. Thank you. I love being stretched. It means the Lord's working on me. So I'm not sure how this goes or how you guys do it, but I'm just going to read from here. Do you want me to have them come up and grab it? Or?
Yeah, they're going to come on up right now, I'm sure.
Okay. We do communion at our church, every service. I get it, yeah. And it made me dig into a communion and what it's about. And just reading about communion is so mind-blowing. You know, just remembering the cross and what he's done, remembering him. Thank you, Zori. Just like the song said, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than Jesus, man. There's nothing better than the work that he's done on the cross. There's nothing better than the power behind his blood, his body being broken for us. That's what we're going to remember right now by way of communion. So if you have stuff in your life, if you have hurts that you haven't dealt with, if you have pain that you want the Lord to heal, is what I'm feeling and hearing right now. The Lord wants to take care of those things for you. Now, if you have those things, raise your cup up. Yeah, proactive. 1 Corinthians 12:23 reads, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Oh, I guess it's the bread first, sorry. So let's take the bread in remembrance of his body broken for us. Lift the blood up, lift the cup up for the blood as we remember the Lord. In the same way, he took the cup of the wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat and drink this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Amen. Let's take up the cup. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting us here today. I feel your presence. I feel you here. I thank you for helping me work through my nerves and being transparent with your people. I pray for open hearts to receive your message, Lord, and I hope they're encouraged. I hope they're blessed by it, and I hope they're, whoever's in their lives that are struggling, Lord, that they would know that there's hope that comes from you, Lord. There's forgiveness for everything that they've ever done in our own lives, or, you know, just anything in general. You are bigger than whatever we're going through. And you want to help us, and you want to meet us, and you want to meet us there. And all we have to do is ask it from you, and you'll give it to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you.